Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a very, very packed show today. And I just want to let you know that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and RepublicReview.org. And as you know, this is the only show on air that will provide you with the actual solution of getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. It's about compliance, my friends. It is literally about compliance. And so if you cannot listen to this entire show today, then it will be rebroadcasted tomorrow at 5 p.m. It will also be rebroadcasted on Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9 p.m. I'm going to have to fly through this because we really have a modified layout and format today. And the reason being is I actually have three interviews, and two of them are actually three interview segments. I actually have to interview two different people. I've got Mitchell Gerber coming back, and we're going to talk more about the Chinese organ harvesting. And after him, we will have Jenny Graham talking. I'm going to quiz her about the Constitution and find out where she stands regarding the Constitution. So as you know, I literally only have a few minutes to kind of give you the local stuff and then try to wrap things up on the very back end. I want to cover Rob Chase's coffee club on Friday. He will have Robin Ball, the new elected GOP chair, who will be filling out the term for this year. And she is going to be speaking this Friday. This starts at 7 in the morning. So if you want to meet Robin, this is the time to come and actually have a very intimate conversation with her, because it's usually a small crowd in there. Next week, it will be Extreme Expeditions. And on the 5th of October, that will still be determined. I mean, Rob's still trying to figure out who to have in there. I'm sure he's just trying to fight between all of those people who are trying to vie for the opportunity to come in and speak to these leaders of thought in the Friday morning coffee club. Last week, Northwest Grassroots did have their movie night. It was actually a pretty awesome movie night. They provided the swamp and a look within the extortion that is currently running rampant throughout Congress. And so it really doesn't matter who you send to Congress as much as it, you know, what we have to do to clean up Congress. Because if you send a communist or a hardcore progressive like Lisa Brown into Congress, you will get an even worse and more corrupt government. All of these corruptions are coming from those who do not support individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it, go to Northwest Grassroots Movie Night and look at on their YouTube channel and look at that compiled video. It is definitely worth your time. I also want to let you know that it seems like I just got this notice that Dave Lucas has challenged the incumbent Tim Ormsby to a debate. And to throw it out there, I would love to moderate that debate. The other thing I want to kind of stir up the pot a little bit is I'm really sick and tired of REI. REI is asserting that the public lands is our lands, and that is a big falsehood, and that is a lie. There is no such thing as public lands. Public lands is state lands, and if state lands, because technically what they're talking about is federally usurped lands. The Constitution did not give the federal government to possess state land. Period. There is nowhere in there other than for those needful things in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17 for military training, military defenses, in those types of things, and that is it, and or needful buildings to do their job, such as in ports, airfields, and so forth. And actually, if you didn't get a chance to listen to my Red State Talk Radio this week, by the way, Monday was Constitution Day, and all week this week, I am reading the Constitution and going through all of the sundry violations that the federal government is committing and that the states literally need to pick it up and get in there and stop all of this before we get bankrupted by these immoral lobbyists and these congressmen and our politicians who are literally trying to destroy our republic and just discard our Constitution for political expediency. I'm at a hard break, but when we come back, I will have Mitchell Gerber, and we'll be talking about the Chinese organ harvesting and where we're going forward with this. And then after that, we will have Jenny Graham, and then I will be back to give you my two cents. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And this is a return visit with Mitchell Gerber, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, and you are still in Vietnam, I believe. Is that correct, Mitchell?
That is correct, you are.
Okay, so
yes, I am.
So I've been able to play all of the segments and the sound bites, let's call them those, that you've sent me. So the audience has been able to hear all of this different testimony and these different comments. And so where are we today as far as this issue? So go ahead.
I tell you, we are doing everything we can to get out the corpus body of evidence. The investigators are working around the clock, visiting country after country. David Kilgore, who is the former Secretary of State to the Asian Affairs of the Canadian Parliament, and the human rights lawyer David Mattis, two esquires and Nobel Peace Prize nominees, as well as Ethan Gutman, an award-winning American journalist, who both three gentlemen formed the coalition to investigate the persecution and forced organ harvesting against the spiritual mind and body practice, the Falun Gong, and now the Uyghur community, as well as the Tibetans and the House Christians, and who have been killed for their organs in at least 1,300 hospitals in and around China for the last 19 years, an $8 billion a year organ trafficking business, ladies and gentlemen, the likes we've never seen before. It does not happen in any other country on a scale, scope, magnitude, and size as it is happening in China at the behest of the Chinese government. This is a cover-up of cover-ups, a new genocide, a cold genocide, where it has been a systematic campaign to demonize, vilify, dehumanize, and just destroy innocent people, their own citizens, and send them to death camps, labor camps, concentration camps, and now state-mandated hospitals for the last 19 years, cutting out their organs while alive, selling the organs as the healthiest organs in the world illegally without any consent, burning the bodies once the organs are ripped off or ripped out to conceal the evidence, and then sell the organs for massive amounts of profit. And now we are targeting the silent governing bodies, and those are the World Health Organization, the United Nations, who have remained silent, truly silent, and haven't done anything to proliferate or expose this issue further, and actually have regressed and refuted the evidence because of the communist regime's infiltration of their thugs, their spies, and their cadres infiltrating the World Health Organization with their deputy of ministers from the communist regime. Huang Jiefu is one of them, who sits on the board of the World Health Organization and has influenced the council members of the World Health Organization, a organ of the United Nations, to say that this is not going on, this is absolutely ridiculous, and have refuted the evidence, the absolute plain black and white, beyond a reasonable doubt, evidence from the three gentlemen, David Kilgore, David Mattis, and Ethan Gutman. And this is a cold day in history, that the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and even the Vatican have remained silent. But what I love about the United States, and especially the House of Representatives, they are continuously, after day, after year, passing resolutions to condemn and urge the Chinese government to stop organ harvesting in China. They fully know what's going on. The State Department knows what's going on. The Justice Department knows what's going on. I talked to FBI. I just sat down with the former clandestine operator of the CIA, Robert David Steele, in London. He was on the panel in the UK where we were briefed for this atrocity with child trafficking as well. They fully know what's going on. So this is an issue that cannot be disguised, cannot be concealed, and cannot be silenced any longer. And when the world wakes up to this, GR, and ladies and gentlemen, we as human beings will be shocked.
Well, so let me ask you this. You've mentioned a lot of international, and you've mentioned Congress, but is this on the CDC radar as well, which is an American institution, as well as the department or the Secretary of Health and Human Services in the United States as well? I mean, I know those are kind of domestic facing, but it would probably be something that would, you know, I would think that it would be something that they would want or would be able to help push or, you know, help with the leveraging of, you know, some type of movement within the Trump administration.
Well, I haven't heard anything of that measure yet. I know that the Trump administration knows fully about Falun Gong, and actually Trump wrote a personal letter to a gentleman who was taken out of China and who was forcibly persecuted and witnessed forced organ harvesting as well. And Trump fully knows about this. He actually signed a Human Trafficking Law Act, that states that anyone out of this world are going to be brought to justice in the future for crimes against humanity, specifically targeting the Falun Gong and the Uyghur Muslims in China. I mean, when you have 100 million people databased by Google, Apple, some Microsoft systems, and Cisco systems using the technology to find these people when they created the Operation Golden Shield in 1998, 1 year before the crackdown, basically the complete persecution, or as the Nazis called it, the Kristallnacht, when they completely outlawed and forbid Jews from practicing or even having businesses or going to school, and the Holocaust basically began, and other atrocities around the world. This regime, the communist regime, spent one quarter of China's gross domestic profit silencing the governing bodies, silencing the health and world organizations, and similar to the United Nations. So the CDC hasn't acted on anything. The State Department, the Justice Department hasn't acted on anything. And unfortunately, the United Nations hasn't acted on anything. And that's why the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, according to him, that the United Nations Human Rights Council has become an exercise in shameless hypocrisy, with many of the world's human rights abuses going ignored, and some of the world's most serious offenders sitting on the council itself, namely China. Its membership includes authoritarian governments with unambiguous and abhorrent human rights records, such as China, Cuba, and Venezuela. Moreover, according to U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, the council is motivated by political bias, not by human rights. And if the Human Rights Council is going to attack countries that uphold upright human rights and shield countries that abuse human rights, then America should not provide it with any credibility. So we're mainly targeting the United Nations or the World Health Organization, which we know specifically, and the Vatican as well, who we know specifically have been aiding and abetting and are sleeping with the red dragon over these issues.
Well, so as Trump, and you know, so this is really a commerce issue, because they're creating a supply and the world is sending their demand into their hospitals. With Trump going down this path of really trying to level the playing field, this gives him a moral high ground of being able to actually say, you know, look, these types of practices, warrant, you know, a complete isolation and, you know, a complete sanctions, trade sanctions and those types of things that the world, you know, should probably start applying. China, if you don't start turning yourself around, you know, then we're going to have to just completely shut you off from the world.
Absolutely. And I think, but I believe truly that Donald Trump is on our side. Donald Trump has not only a moral obligation to the world, but he's also a godsend that is saving the Republic right now. Regardless of what you can say about him, he is under a lot of pressure. And this man is a godsend. He is the last great president of America. America is burning under this intoxicated cultural Marxist liberalism that Reagan even warned us about. And unfortunately, it has poisoned the minds specifically of the liberal students in the universities of America, the liberal universities. They've targeted the students. And this has affected greatly and endangered the constitutional values, the traditional values of the West. But the silent majority will not be swayed and will reject this kind of cultural Marxist hypocrisy and liberalism that has jolted their youth, but will not win over the mass support that are true Americans that believe in one nation under God, believe in the sovereignty of the United States, believe in the traditional republic for which it stands, one nation under God, and will not stand for this globalist takeover guided by George Soros or led by George Soros to destroy the American Republic and replaced with a communist-style system that Mao Zedong installed with the help of the Rockefellers in China.
Yes.
So going forward, I think you're going to see a massive move from Trump to do something about this. He's already going after the pedophiles around the world, and especially in America. Right. He lives by a good principle of Trump.
Yeah, so Mitchell, let me cut you off real quick because we got about 30 seconds left. And so what I'd like to do is actually hold you over for another segment, because I think some of the burning questions that at least I have, that I think the listeners would like to know, is where are we or where are you in the next, you know, testimony, the next briefing, bringing this out? And is there a potential of trying to actually bypass maybe the government facades and bringing this into maybe some type of a commercial effort, as well as a different type of marketing scheme. Well, I'll get into it when we come back from the break. We're at a hard break right now. So folks, please stay tuned and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And so one of the things that has actually been very successful in instituting change is public campaigns. And when I say public campaigns, it's a campaign that is appealing to the people. And I understand things like that cost money. And I know that the mainstream media is really being silent on that because they are supporting a real insidious evil and the progress of evil throughout the United States and throughout the world. And so they don't want to shine the light on this type of stuff. So is there a possibility that this effort that you guys are working, because I know there's a lot of different people working, is there a possibility of getting some kind of financial backing to actually start running? Because, you know, PETA runs ads about the inhumane treatment of animals, and they show, you know, these really bad, sick, and, you know, it's just heart-wrenching, and almost, you know, most people just want to turn it off because it's so bad. But it's one of those types of things that I think you can actually do a public campaign and make the public painfully aware of this so that they actually start demanding that the United States government actually step up.
That is a great idea. And actually, I'm going to put that forward. That's a phenomenal idea, GR. I don't think that has happened quite yet. I mean, we do work for certain media companies.
Well, so let me throw this in here, because all it takes is a small little campaign, a targeted campaign in a few different affordable areas that might actually help bring in more money to grow the campaign. So in other words, it takes a little bit of seed money to run a couple of ads that will actually help people start contributing, so that that money then actually grows the campaign so that you can start affording bigger markets and more expensive markets, such as, you know, LA, New York, Chicago, and those types of markets. But, you know, like St. Louis and and you know, the Portland and you know, some of these outlying but still large cities that have, you know, a few million people in their broadcasting network. And my point is that this can be a self-feeding, you know, like the snowball growing down the hill to become this huge campaign that creates such an uproar that it just demands people to stop buying Chinese crap and stop buying, you know, and demand that we stop doing trade and business with China.
And I wish it was so simple. And I love your heart and your passion for it. And actually, the investigators, when I sat down with them and they were interviewed, they have so much information about it. And we have done campaigns, and we actually work with the largest Chinese democratic television station outside of China called NTD TV, which is New Tang Dynasty Television, as well as the Epoch Times in New York, Sound of Hope, and the Voice of America. And we do continually bring out and spread awareness about this. And unfortunately, people, the hard reality of this, and we've done about over 17 different documentaries that have won the Peabody Awards and numerous awards, the corpus of evidence, going to different bodies around the world. And GR, let me tell you, yes, your idea is phenomenal, and we are going to continue our efforts to try and do this. But the problem is that because of such controversy and such, not even controversy, but such demonized, weaponized propaganda, that we are in the fight of our lives. And when we give the books and the evidence to these world leaders, they don't read the stuff. It's almost miles or just throw it in the trash and say, listen, forget about it. They don't read the stuff. They don't believe it's happening.
So and let me interject real quick, because I understand exactly what you're saying, but just in the wake of this Hurricane Florence, ABSCA is an animal rescue type of organization. They're doing an advertising campaign because there are pets that were left behind from the hurricane, and they just ask people to spend, you know, if they give us $19 a month. I honestly think that when it comes to human beings being held captive and then literally just being utilized for their life, only becomes an existence for the person, the wretched person that comes and says, that person needs to die so I can live. And so I believe that if you have a campaign that says we only need this kind of money, and then if you kind of do all of that to where how you can grow this campaign, and if you lay it out, I truly believe that you'll probably get a lot of people that would be happy to give you $20 a month just to sign up for a regular, you know, withdraw or a reoccurring charge on their credit card or what have you to help. And so, because America does believe in individual liberty, it is a founding principle and a fundamental principle of, you know, what we believe. And I can't understand why this wouldn't be a naturally growing campaign as a public appeal.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. And yes, I will put forward this idea to the investigators and even the media that I am currently working with, because this issue is so grave and so serious. And as human beings, we all have a human body. And a lot of people don't and will not look at it because it's so grave and so hard to believe and so unspeakable. And then, like I said, with the World Health Organization and other governing bodies turning silent because of the communist regime's bribes and payoffs and political pressures, they are not, and they don't even want to read the stuff. That's the problem. This will mark the beginning of a new form of, it has marked the beginning of a new form of genocide that not even the Nazis could have come up with. Not even, I mean, this is a genocide in modern history that is on a scale and scope never seen in our lifetimes. And I make such outlandish, hyperbolized statements, but they are true beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think, yes, GR, your incredible suggestion will come true. I believe it, because more and more people, and especially the American spirit, does not tolerate these kind of crimes. Well, and I actually, yeah.
Yeah, let me put it in perspective for you. If you have, there's 300 plus million people in America. And so if you had 1%, if you appealed and got 1% of America behind you on this, let's just say that that would be 3 million people. And if they were paying $20 a month, then that would be $60 million a month coming in supporting your efforts. Now, I don't know if that's a lot of money to you, but that sure is a lot of money to me. And that would mean that there would be a, you know, a lot of things that you could actually start doing with, you know, Super Bowl type of campaigns where, I mean, it becomes really in the face of America to where you can, go ahead.
No, absolutely. And that's going to happen. That's going to absolutely happen. And I think you're ushering in a new wave of exposure that will happen because this is a, this, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress to you more than how serious this is. I've been working on the front lines on this issue for no money, no fame, no name for 19 years. I mean, when this is exposed, and I mean, this is the superpower of superpowers, you know, unlike American democracy and American superpower has been. I mean, China has grown to a superpower dragon in the last 20, 30 years, specifically because of the American market of consumers.
Right.
And their institutional slavery system in mainland China. So
let me ask you this, because I got 2 minutes left. What is the next testimony? What is the next event or opportunity that you have to bringing this to the, you know, the same bodies or new bodies or what? Anything on the horizon?
Well, right now I'm working on campaigns in Vietnam with the media because we usually create a lot of the video ads and content to expose this in Vietnam. So I will keep you up to date, GR, but if people would like to know more about the updates, they can always go to the site endtransplantabuse.org and stoporganharvesting.org. Those are the two websites they can go to, endtransplantabuse.org and stoporganharvesting.org. And I will definitely keep you up to date about where this is going. And I do have sound bites that I can send you based on Dana Rockenbacher and the United States and the United States Congress urging the communist regime to stop this atrocity. But yes, I do believe within the next year, within the next six months to a year, you're going to see a serious exposure, the likes we've never seen before, whether it comes from a campaign, whether it comes from President Trump's mouth, whether it comes from celebrities, or whether it comes from our own media. You are going to see the American people and the world's people wake up to this and be shocked and will be forced to do something because this will shock them to the core to find out that Falun Gong, the spiritual movement, and others have been persecuted in such a way and killed for their organs on demand, harvested alive, and for an $8 billion organ trafficking business. So I will definitely update you and keep you posted. And God bless you for that wonderful inspiration and that suggestion, because I will discuss it with the investigator shortly.
Okay, I understand. And, you know, God bless you for, you know, taking the stand and being in this fight for as long as you have. As I've told you before, my program or my access to my listeners is yours whenever you have any updates. So please let me know. And folks, I'm coming right into a hard break. So I will be right back after word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned. And again, we'll be right back after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I have Virginia Graham on the line with me, and I'd like to welcome you. Thank you very much for taking the time to connect with us so that we can kind of let the constituents in the, what now is Legislative District 3 that you're running?
Legislative District 6.
Okay, there we go. 6, seat 1 or 2?
I am running for the seat 2 position.
Seat 2 position. Okay, folks, this is who you vote for. Got it? We're done. No, I'm just kidding. So as I always ask all of the candidates, and the reason this is important is because every candidate that is stepping into public service has to raise their arm to the square and basically affirm or attest and swear that they are going to do some very specific things. And that first thing, the first thing you have to do is you have to swear to support the Constitution. So this is critical. And as a matter of fact, the Constitution mandates in Article 6 that all people seeking public service must take an oath. And so to you, the first question I have is, what is the Constitution? And if you could, what is it to you? And if you could describe the Constitution in one word, what would that word be?
The Constitution in one word is a contract.
There you go. Yes. Yes. And so most people don't get that. But in a grander scheme, what is the Constitution to you?
Well, the Constitution to me is that I recognize that it is a contract that grants very specific powers to the government in what they can and cannot do that allow this country to be the great country that it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so most people, and my listeners get this, we have a hard, fast contract, and we have enumerated very specific powers. We fought a revolutionary war because the former government that was overseeing us, that was oppressing us, which was Britain at the time, was taking latitudes, and they were basically making up all sorts of laws as they went along to basically take money, adding taxes, started putting people out of their homes by quartering their armies and so forth. And so there was a lot of despotism and tyranny that the framers, or I should say the colonists, were dealing with. And when they created a new government, they wanted to make sure that that government was constrained so that they would not be able to have the authority and power to do those types of things. So they were very, very cautious in making sure that there were no back doors or any little windows that the government could start growing and creeping, and which is why we have the Article 5 process in amending the Constitution. And you're absolutely correct. It is a very defined contract where there are very limited powers that have been delegated to that. And so there's not a lot of people that get that. And I appreciate the fact that you've done some due diligence, and at least you are a qualified candidate on understanding that, because moving into this very very important position that you're applying for, it is critical that the state legislators understand what is delegated and what isn't delegated. We don't have time to kind of go through all of that in an 11-minute segment. So let me ask you this. As you've been running this campaign, what is the number one issue that you're dealing with your constituents as you're knocking on doors and so forth?
Yeah, well, absolutely, hands down, it's the legal plunder. It's the government overreach with taxes in Washington State, on track to becoming the highest tax state in the nation, and the government taking that money. And once they take it, we do not have, as the people, the ability to decide what happens with that. And it's just taking more and more and more.
Right, right. And so, as you know, that constitutions are literally contracts. The people of the state of Washington has delegated very specific powers within that initial contract, and over time that has been modified and amended. And I know that there's a lot more to a state contract, and there should be, because the state has all the pleasures and enjoyment if the people are willing to delegate these, you know, different powers and so forth to the state. Then the state can enjoy, or I should say, can provide for the people all sorts of things. So I'm not going to test you on the Washington State Constitution, but I presume you know where it is, and you probably will need to become very smart on it so that you can start understanding what is in that contract and what isn't in that contract.
Right. I'm going to say that this is one of the other driving things that I've seen as far as me personally stepping up to run, that in our Washington State Constitution, in the 18th Amendment, it says that they cannot impose a state income tax.
Right.
And it's being overlooked. It's being sidestepped as if it does not matter. And that is more and more of that is happening. And we have to take a stand. They can't have it both ways. They either need to change the law and amend it, or they need to abide by it.
Right. And the only way of doing that is by an amendment process. I'm not happy with the Washington Constitution. I've been a champion for the state counties, for the county commissioners to actually apply for a constitutional convention so that the counties can then literally sit in, you know, in a convention and go through the Washington State Constitution and form it to actually serve us in, you know, in this 21st century form of government, or what we need as a people so that we can thrive. As Madison said, the two objects of government are to do two, you know, the two primary things that government is supposed to do is, one, to protect lives, and to protect property. It's not supposed to, you know, redistribute wealth and so forth. And I do know on the income tax issue that there is also a clause in the Washington State Constitution that requires all taxes be uniformly applied. And what they want to do is they want to have a gradual income tax where people that don't make a lot of money don't, you know, they pay less, and the people that make lots of money pay a lot more. And in that progressive tax scheme, that is not a uniform tax where they create a redistribution of wealth or socialism. And so they have to change two parts of the Washington State Constitution to, one, allow income tax, and two, to change that uniformity so that they can create a gradual and or a progressive tax scheme.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And there's room for all kinds of abuse. It definitely resonates with me when I hear people that I know talking about the fact that they do not want to work for the man, that why should they get a job? They're making more money on welfare, or even some of the, you know, the thoughts of some of the younger people nowadays that talk about, well, I don't want to work because I don't like to deal with people, or I don't want to be with fire. I don't want to be fired. I just want to draw pictures all day and give them away for free. I watched something where there was a young person that actually was talking about that. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was in the military, and I also worked two jobs beside that. And I was happy to have those jobs because that meant security for me. That meant I could pay my bills. It meant that I could have medical because I didn't have any medical insurance.
Right. Yes. Let me ask you this. You've probably seen people gaming the system. We've got about 2 minutes left where people are receiving welfare and or they're probably got a side job or a business on the side where they're illegally making money that they're not reporting.
Right.
And so how is that a systemic problem or is that just an outlier problem?
No, I call it a major problem. Because if they can do those side jobs, then they can either become trained in another job, because that's the other issue. We've got a lot of elderly tradespeople that are retiring from really good paying jobs.
Uh-huh.
And those jobs are open right now. So we should be doing something to get the people that are in need out of poverty by possibly helping with these programs,
right,
to get them into these good paying jobs so they're not relying on the government to take care of them.
Right. Absolutely. We got about 30 seconds left. Is there another top issue that you see?
The other top issue that I definitely see is public safety. All you have to do is turn on the television and you see the news. You see the out of control crime. You see officers that are afraid, and rightfully so in some instances, to do their jobs. And they're not, which you can see. You look at places like Baltimore,
right,
other places where the crime is just exponentially getting worse. And
right,
it's the same thing with homelessness, the clothes and the garbage that's piling up with the needles.
Okay.
And the human feces.
I'm going to have to cut you off here because we're at a heartbreak. And if I do not hear from your opponent, I will get back with you before we go to air with this so that we can actually have one more conversation with you. So I appreciate the fact that you've come on board, and I appreciate the fact that you spent this time with us. Good luck, and we will be right back, folks, after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. And so with that, I'll leave the door open if you want to start supporting and if you want to advertise on the show. We only have a couple minutes, and so I really had to change the format and didn't want to necessarily waste another, I hate to say waste, but play another 10, 15 minute intro or second intro music. So bottom line, if you didn't garner, Jenny is, she's got her head on right. She understands what the issues are, and she actually understands the Constitution, in contrast to most of the other candidates that I've actually interviewed. And so I'm hoping that you can find the time to get out and support her. I'll say this again. If you are voting for Dave Lucas, if you are voting for Jenny, if you're voting for Matt Shea, any of the legislators that you are voting for, I urge you to please contribute $2 a week. And as a matter of fact, I would like to see you contribute $2 a week since the primary. So if you haven't given them any money, because $2 is just a half tank of gas practically. It's not a lot of money. These folks need money to be able to ensure that we're protecting our state and our liberties. Do you want not a sales tax? Do you want an income tax? Do you want them to continually violate? Because our ability to protect ourselves with the court, the way the courts are stacked today, they know that they can run rickshaw over us because they're hoodwinking us. They understand that they are in those positions of control. So if we do not maintain the controls of these seats, we are literally going to watch Washington become and be able to brag that they're showing up California, New York, and the rest of these ultra-liberal states. If you look at the layout, Washington is not nearly that liberal. That's how close we are on seats. But as soon as they have that little bit of an edge, because we are not a Republican form of government, we are a democracy here, and we are violating the Constitution. You should not be able to amend the Constitution of the state of Washington by a simple majority. By a Republican form of government, we need to have a majority of the Republic of Washington, which would be the majority of the counties, not the majority of the people. As a representative form of government that is based upon American representative, the counties have been completely marginalized, and it is violating the Constitution. The Supreme Court, in a ruling in the 60s, violated the Constitution by marginalizing the counties. Congress really needs to step up. We really need to start getting very active in protecting ourselves by establishing a true Republican form of government and getting away from a democracy. I really appreciated Jenny coming on. I'm hoping to have her on soon. I'm looking to have Dave Lucas and Tim Ornsby on hopefully next week. If not, I wanted to reach out for Mary Cooney and Rob Chase to come on to see who can come on. Bottom line, I invited Dave Wilson. I do not hear a peep from him. I've sent him a couple of emails, not a peep. And so I am hoping that I might be able to get the Mary Cooney. I've asked before, never heard a peep from her, but it is an indictment as far as I'm concerned. When you're asking a politician to give them free airtime, if they go on to Spokane Talks and lots of these other places, they have to pay to get onto those shows. I am begging them to come on for free, and they're not willing to do it because they understand that they're going to have to answer some tough questions. And as a matter of fact, they're really not that tough. What is the Constitution? They do not want to expose the fact that they do not care what the Constitution says, and they're going to do the status quo of literally shredding the Constitution more and more. And so that's what we've got, folks. That's why this is an important election. And that's why I'm G.R. Mobley, and I'm reclaiming the Republic. And I need your help. So please check us out next week, and we will be back with more, hopefully more candidates and great content. God bless.